Rumours are circulating in Damascus that the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, is preparing a way out for himself and his family. We can't confirm those rumours because Assad himself isn't saying anything and he's keeping a very low profile. But his regime faces more pressure than at any time since the uprising began in March last year against more than 40 years of rule by the Assad family. Rebel fighters in Damascus claim to control around a third of the capital and its suburbs. The regime say they control only pockets. Our Middle East editor, Jeremy Bowen, is in Damascus, and he's been talking to rebels and to the regime, starting with wounded soldiers loyal to President Assad in the city's military hospital.
I'm in the Tishreen military hospital. We've just come down a clean corridor, smells of antiseptic, past a guard carrying a Kalashnikov assault rifle. Walking along the corridors of this hospital, you get an idea of just how much of a toll this war is taking. There's some spare capacity here. There are some empty rooms, but there are a lot of wounded soldiers. Hi, how are you? Hello. It's a young man, looks very sad and pale, unhappy. He's paralyzed. He's hit in the back.
Sniper.
Yeah. How is he feeling?
Sad very much.
Sad?
Sad. No sleep.
Can't sleep, so he's traumatised.
I'm not sad because I become paralyzed, but because I can't stand with my friend against this attack going against my country and my friend.
He wants to fight more.
I would like to stand beside my friend to defend my country.
And he looks emotional as he says it too. I can see his eyes filling with tears.
On any given day, the sound of airstrikes and artillery directed at the rebels rolls around Damascus. It's not constant, but it doesn't let up. You can look towards the sky and see jets, and towards the suburbs and see smoke and flame. With a war so close to the hub of government, I asked the Deputy Foreign Minister Faisal Mukdad if it showed that the Assad regime's last days were in sight.
Some people are, speaking about this thing, but I think this is funny, and this is only a psychological warfare. The government is strong, the Syrian army is strong, the Syrian people is still rallying behind the President Assad. That's why President Assad and the political system is still surviving, and it will survive.
Damascus is two cities at the moment. The center, feeling the strain of the war, the hub of the regime, still functional though, and the other Damascus, and that's where I'm going right now. The suburbs controlled by the armed rebels. So we just passed the first Free Syria Army checkpoint on the edge of Douma. Half a dozen men casually sitting around a wood fire. They've asked us to stop. How are you doing?
Tell me what it's been like in Douma.
All sorts of artillery shelling day and night, mortars, multiple rockets and single rockets, warplanes, MiGs, helicopters, Sukhoi targeting civilian houses. I lost my house, my brother, my father, my four cousins, five of my mother's cousins. We have 30 martyrs in our own family.
For how long have you been a fighter?
I started protesting from the first day. I protested against injustice. I picked up a weapon after my father and my brother were killed.
Just arrived at a place where there was a big bomb yesterday. Buildings on both sides of the street destroyed. Absolutely smashed, four-story buildings in. Ripped open by the force of the explosion. The question was, what is it going to take to
translate their stomach for the fight, their determination to keep going despite all of this, into victory over the regime. They're fighting a government which still has strong armed forces. There's stuff going over the top of us. You can hear the whoosh of the shell. It's nerve-wracking here. The guys are smiling, they're used to it. I thought that was coming down on our heads. Little kid giggling at the sound of those explosions. When I was last in Douma in January, armed rebels were appearing on the streets for the first time. They were struggling to find weapons, let alone organise themselves. That's changed. Now the dominant armed group is Liwa al-Islam. They've taken more ground, including a major military base where they're training recruits. These men are getting themselves organised. There are, just where I am on this base, I can see several dozen. They're lining up some recruits now to put them through their paces for some drills. These are new volunteers.
This Liwa is not Qaeda, not Qaeda. Why all world said this Liwa al-Islam is Qaeda? Why?
Assad's people say that Liwa al-Islam is like Al-Qaeda.
Because he is dishonest. Assad and his group is dishonest. We are not Qaeda. I am from Syria, not Qaeda.
And we, Liwa al-Islam, we fight to make justice and freedom and the future, the light in the future to Syria, not to kill people.
Liwa al-Islam's military spokesman calls himself Colonel Islam. He wore a headband embroidered with the Shahada, the Muslim Declaration of Faith, and carried an M4. The most advanced American assault rifle.
Of course we win. We have all of these areas zone. But this, of course we win.
What do you think will happen to Assad?
Killed. Must be killed.
How important is it for you to win the battle in Damascus?
It's very important. It's the capital city.
But how will you get into the center of the city? He has tanks, he has airplanes, he has helicopters.
Never mind, never mind. We have many fighters and they're ready to go to the Damascus city.
They've got a fight ahead here, a hard fight. It is very difficult to see how the Assad regime can roll back people who are this determined, who've taken so much ground and who are holding it right in the capital city.
Jeremy Bowen there on that hard fight, as he calls it, in Syria.